You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We are starting today by thinking about the way we deal with news, like last weekend's shooting in Orlando. Since the mission of this show is where the economy meets real life, we wanted to know how our evolving digital economy and the rise of companies like Facebook, Twitter, even crowdfunding sites fits into this. So we brought on Karen North, a professor at USC and an expert in psychology and social media. I asked her how this new connected digital world has changed the way we process tragic events.
It's interesting because in life we always look for thought leaders and we also look for groups to join so that we feel like we have camaraderie in our opinions. And social media now allows us to find that not just at the workplace or at school, but instead we can go seek it out on social media and we have a world of people that might provide us with those opportunities to bond with people over opinions.
When we look at social media as a connective tool, it's also sort of a fractious one. I mean, I'm thinking about the Wall Street Journal has this experiment of red and blue Facebook news feeds. And it does make me wonder how much connection we get, but also how much siloing we reinforce.
People psychologically seek out information and opinions that confirm their own opinions. It's just a natural state of being. And the internet has allowed us to seek out people who already agree with us and to bolster our opinions. You know, the reality is that the people who have skewed opinions still have to get their news from somewhere. And so the general news comes from the traditional media, and then the bloggers and podcasters and the people who share their opinions on social networks are really reacting almost like commentary. So there's still a huge burden or a huge responsibility on traditional journalists to present both sides of controversial issues.
Yeah, I want to get your take on one other question, I guess, of journalistic responsibility in a mass tragedy event, and particularly with mass shootings, this question of should people be named, should their pictures be out there, suspects, I mean, you know, really divides journalists. I tend to think that news is news, but I wonder what the research shows about how media reinforces narratives in these cases.
Well, frankly, I find that personalizing the individuals who commit heinous acts is a dangerous practice. We've seen it. We've seen similar things happen with things like school shootings after Columbine in particular. We saw that. And what it really is, there, some people talk about it as contagion or emotional contagion. And the danger is that people look for people who are similar to themselves. And it's not that people necessarily copycat what other people have done, but it becomes a plausible behavioral response.
What do you think is a responsible way then for news organizations or people who want to share these things with their friends?
I don't know. And there's a really fine line between what you should do as a journalism to report all of the information and what you should do as a socially responsible member of our community. And I think that to some extent, we all want to know who are these people who do these things.
Yeah, it's sort of a human impulse.
It's a human impulse. We want to understand it. And the thing about the digital age is that we now also are drawn to want to sort of be there vicariously and see what happened and how it happened and why it happened. Now, the first thing that people want to see is they want to see the iPhone video from inside of Pulse or from inside of whatever it is. And it's us trying to figure it out and master the situation. And it's all of us wanting to have a personal experience rather than just hearsay or news reports. But at the same time, to the extent that we humanize the people who do terrible things, then we all realize that there's a part of them that hurts in the way that we hurt. And for very troubled people, it's frightening to think how much they might identify with those people.
Because it seems like digital technology and communication really does close the gap for, say, a disaffected person who's looking for an ideology, any ideology to latch onto.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we, you know, you can go back for decades and look at things like social learning theory and modeling and how people, even very young children, are drawn to try to understand their feelings and attribute their feelings and find a behavioral response. it's the same digital environment that allows all of us to care about the victims or the people who are hurt by those people.
Right.
We've never had the capacity or the opportunity to feel such empathy or to join in and help support people who are hurting the way that we have today. The idea of being able to raise money for people who are faced with horrible financial burdens is a phenomenal outgrowth of it. But the other thing is that there are people who don't realize how many people care or might care about them. And there's an opportunity for people to share their concern for people they've never met. And, you know, ultimately in the world, that's a positive message.
Karen North, director of USC Annenberg's Digital Social Media Program, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.